Biblical fellowship is something that every believer should prize. The lost should desire. And those who have fallen away ought to seek to reclaim. Words from my good preaching buddy, Sam Dilbeck, who preaches outside of Denver, Colorado, in Brighton. And it's a lot cooler there than it is here. And he likes to remind us of that frequently. Fellowship. What comes to mind when you hear that word? If you listen closely, you can hear the word fellow. Fellow. And when I hear the word fellow, I can't help but think, for he's a jolly good fellow. And no one or nobody can deny. Usually we might say fella. Hey, fella. If you're from Texas, it's hey, feller. Right? How are you, feller? Our fellows are our companions. And therefore, fellowship is descriptive of how we interact with and partner with our fellows, with our companions. And the Bible talks about fellowship, particularly in regard to our cooperation and our sharing one with another as members of the body of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than fellowship. Our interaction, our partnership, our sharing, our communion. Now, having said that, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Ephesians 5. As I was preparing for this sermon, and I partly say that so you'll know that I prepared, as I was preparing for this sermon, it dawned on me that the thoughts that would invade my mind when thinking about fellowship were out of balance. You say, what do you mean? I cut my teeth on a steady diet as it pertains to fellowship regarding those we should not fellowship. And if you're looking at Ephesians 5 and verse 11, important verse, important principle. We'll say more about that principle tonight if God wills and gives us the opportunity. What does Paul say, Ephesians 5 and verse 11? He's been warning the Ephesian brethren about not engaging in worldly activities like fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. What about those who do? What does he say to these Ephesian Christians? He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose or reprove them. Those things that fall under the guise in the category of unfruitful works of darkness, those who participate in those things, the Bible says the faithful Christian will not participate in those things with them. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17. And I point to that passage because that verse, because forever, if someone would have said, Bill, I want you to talk about fellowship, again, I probably would have stood up and quoted that verse and talked about how we're not to fellowship the disorderly, 2 Thessalonians 3, or those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, Romans 16 and verse 17, or the fornicator, 1 Corinthians 5, and there's a list of verses like that, and all of that is so. But I think I missed the most important aspect of fellowship, as that has been the common thread in my mind considering what it is. It's much, much more than that. Fellowship isn't just those with whom we should turn away, but it's regarding those to whom we should turn. Fellowship. We hear a lot about fellowship in church circles, don't we? For instance, we're thinking about building a fellowship hall. What do you think? This coming Sunday, we're going to have a fellowship meal. The ladies are going to get together and have a fellowship retreat. It's been said we talk a lot about fellowship, but we seldom genuinely experience it for what it is. Again, I ask you, what is fellowship? And I say this often, I guess, because of 25 years of dealing with preacher students. If fellowship was the part of the test this morning and you had to define what it is, what is it? What if that's the only question on the test? How are you doing? Say, please give us about 24 more so we can at least get just four off for the one we don't know, right? Notice I did that math in my head so quick. Just kidding. What is fellowship? You know, there are a lot of Greek terms that are thrown around that brethren know nothing about and I don't know anything about. But usually if I said, what's agape? You'd say, that's love. That's one we hear a lot about, right? The word for fellowship is one that we probably have heard more than some. It's koinonia, or if you're speaking modern Greek, it's kinonia. And you'll need to know that for the exam, so you modern Greek, proper pronunciation. All right, koinonia. Koinonia ministries. I've seen associations like that. Well, what's that word all about? What does it mean? Koinonia comes from a root koinos. So, okay, well, what does that matter? It's a prefix. It's a prefix. For instance, if you were looking at a word that had that particular prefix, koinos, on the front of it, let's say it's koinos mater. Common mother is what that would mean. A common mother is experience shared by who? Siblings. So common. If it were the prefix before the word for purse or contribution, it would be a common purse, a common contribution. What does that mean? Evidently, there are several fellows, several companions, who regarding the funds of that, they all share them in common. Common. So when we look at the word koinonia, which has as its root common, it has the idea of common sharing. Common sharing. You want another word for it? How about this? Participation. Common participation. In other words, as citizens of the kingdom of God, all of us together have certain items in common, the most important of which is Jesus Christ. And so it all starts, as we'll see in a moment, with common sharing with Him, and then that bleeds over into common sharing among us. Let's talk a little bit about this concept. Again, it's interesting, koinonia in Greek literature oftentimes referred to the bond, the sharing in among corporate members of a corporation, or even partners in a law firm, and in the most intimate way, marriage partners experience koinonia. That is, they partner together in a very intimate way. But let's notice 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. Let's talk about this partnering. Where does it all start? Where does it all begin? Let's talk about the inward nature of fellowship. What's the inward nature of fellowship? Well, this is what it is. The inward nature of fellowship has to do with, through obedience to the truth, becoming Christians, as many of us have done. We named the name of Jesus. We repented of our sins. We confessed Him. We were baptized into Him. We came up from the waters of baptism. God became our Father, and everybody else who had did the same thing, who had done the same thing, became our siblings, our brothers and sisters. And therefore, through obedience to the truth, through the reception of the gospel, we became partners with God. In fact, Paul refers to himself and his companions as fellow workers with God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. But the inward concept, I did say inward a minute ago, didn't I? Because I got to get to outward here in a minute, and I don't want to mess that up. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, notice Paul just makes a statement that if you're just reading it, you might run past it and not really think about what he's saying. But this is what he says. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into, what does your translation say? Into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. How are we called by the gospel? And when we answered that call, we became Christians, we were brought into fellowship with God through Jesus. In other words, an agreement was struck. We gave our lives over to him, and now he says, you're mine, and you will partner with me. You have fellowship with me. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14 says something very similar about the love of God and Jesus, and then the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which every Christian experiences upon naming the name of Christ and obeying the gospel. Where does fellowship start, brethren? It's vertical with God. Through the gospel, we have been called into this fellowship with him through Jesus. You're now God's partner. That leads us to the concept, when we think about fellowship, of the outward. Of the outward. Or we might say the horizontal. You become a Christian, you begin a partnership with God. You are in fellowship with him. He's your partner. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, although there are statements that discuss and describe various ones having a relationship with God, fellowship is a post-Pentecost sort of a statement. You don't find that word as it is until the establishment of the church. As if to imply, yes, men could have a relationship with God in the Old Testament, but now through Jesus, he's our fellow. He's like us. And now because of him, we can have a relationship with God that's fuller and even deeper than what the Old Testament saints could enjoy. You let that sink in for a second. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to say this as we think about this topic. Why is fellowship so important? We'll talk about some of those things. It's important because it's at the heart of God's plan. And for God's plan to carry forth on the earth, it will be done because of our fellowship together. God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven through our partnership first with him and then with one another. This morning, we as Christians are in fellowship one with another. What do you mean? We're sharing something together. We're partnering in something. What is that? Our worship to God. And mutually together we're saying, we're all in this together through Jesus. And God's will being carried out in this place and all over the world is based on the sweet fellowship among brethren. Our partnering together. So what do we see in Ephesians 3 verses 10 and 11? Notice it. What's the purpose of the church? Ephesians 3, verses 10 through 11. This will be number 6 on the final exam, part B. The church makes known the wisdom of God, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to God's eternal purpose. In other words, God's eternal purpose, what he had in mind from the very beginning, was that he would establish this community of fellows. And that community, in their coming into existence, makes known God's wisdom, but also their carrying out of his plan makes known his wisdom to all. Who makes known God's wise plan both to the unseen and the seen? We do. We do, because we're in fellowship. We're in a partnership with God and one another that we're going to do his will, and in doing his will, men see who he is. See the importance of fellowship. It's not having a meal down at the community center in and of itself, that being the end all. That's fellowship. It's not a retreat at the lake, although you can have sweet fellowship in a retreat at the lake. It's bigger than that. It's relationship. It's communion. It's participation with God and with one another. What about verses 20 and 21 of Ephesians chapter 3? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be what? Where? In the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God in his plan said, here's what I'll do. My plan will involve a partnership. It'll be between me and all of those who have a relationship with me through my son. And through them and through the work they do, I'll be glorified, not just in the here and now, but forever. Fellowship involves not just the fact that I can call you brother or sister and you can call me the same. It's about all that we're doing in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. We're partnering together in that. Church isn't a social club. It's not something you do, you just show up and sit in the pew and go home and act like nothing changed, nothing matters. It's about all of us valuing the same thing, seeking first the same kingdom, and partnering together for the good of God and his cause. Because he says, you're the ones that I'm going to use. I have struck a partnership with you. I'm in fellowship with you. I'm in communion with you. I'm sharing in this with you. Fellowship. It's deeper than a meal. Although this meal is as deep, symbolically, fellowship-wise, as we can go. I'll say more about that in just a second. There's the inward concept of fellowship. Our souls in partnership with God. There's the outward, together. Because of that arrangement, we work on behalf of God for His glory in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Why is fellowship so important? We've noticed some principles, right? We've talked about the root of the word itself. We've talked a little bit about the word. We've talked about the inward aspect of fellowship. We've talked about the outward aspect of fellowship. We're talking about all that we share together as brethren in the most important work in the world. If we don't think that, we might as well be playing golf or eating brunch somewhere. That's true. If we don't see fellowship for what it is, we're just spinning our wheels. Sunday morning TV is not real good. Of course, I don't watch TV much anymore, and I don't know that anybody does much anymore. We watch a computer screen, but I digress just a tad. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice something that Paul says. Here's what the Corinthians were doing. They realized that there's but one God. They realized that even meat sacrificed to idols sold in the marketplace, they could eat it and it wouldn't somehow hinder their spirituality. They knew if they went to a party somewhere and somebody was serving that meat, they could eat it. It didn't defile them in some way. But some of them had taken that sort of an idea and they thought to themselves, well, if I can eat it, I guess I can go into the temple itself, sit down with my heathen friends and eat with them. Paul says, you can't do that. You can't go into an actual temple and sit down while they're worshiping an idol, because in so doing, you become one of them. You find yourself in fellowship with them. You're partnering with them in that. He said, you can't do that. But notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 14. The benefits we share. You want to know what we share? What we have fellowship in? Notice the concept. Verse 14, Paul says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Now, they've been dining with the heathen. Now he points them in the direction of the Lord's table and what that represents. You see, what this table represents, the depth of it is breathtaking. For some of us, it's just a pinch of a cracker and it's a little bit of Welch's. That's as far as it goes for some. That's not what it is. What does that table represent? Our fellowship. When we gather around this table, we're saying that these emblems represent something that all of us benefit from and all of us live for. And we partner together in that. We have that in common. We share that. And so here's what Paul said. Verse 16, he says, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the, what does your translation say? Sharing. Mine says communion. You know what word that is? That's koinonia. He says, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion, the fellowship of the body of Christ? And then notice how he concludes this. He says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake. That's the idea. What does fellowship involve? Participation. And together we all partake, he says, of the one bread. Who's the one bread? That's Jesus. And we gather around this table, we're saying together, I believe that Jesus came, took on flesh, shed his blood, died, was buried and raised, and is coming again. And we examine our lives in light of that, and then we acknowledge all together through the act of the supper itself, we say, I believe he's coming again. We proclaim his death till he comes. That's what we're doing all together. That's what we're all mutually participating in when we gather around the table. But here's what's so important about fellowship. It marks the benefits that we have. What do we mutually enjoy all together? The body and the blood of Jesus. We're all partakers of that. The promises and the truths that go along with that, all of us together have those things in common. Well, I thought it was just something we did. It can be. You know, probably, and it wouldn't bother me a bit, I probably ought to preach about 15 minutes every Sunday, and we spend a lot more time here. Benefits. That's why this concept of fellowship is so important, because the only reason we're partnered together is because of what that represents. Because of what that represents. Why is fellowship so important? Because, as we said, through it, the work of God is accomplished. It's through our relationships with Him and with one another, our mutual mindset, our commonality. Together, we are carrying out the will of God. We're going to come back to some of this tonight. There's way more than I can cover, but we're going to close with this idea. Turn to Philippians 1. I want you to think of fellowship, certainly as it pertains to the sharing of benefits, but I want you to think of it regarding the sharing of work. Because here's what happens. We say a lot about fellowship, but often we don't experience it. What do we mean? Fellowship is partnering. It's just that. Not just in the benefits, but in the work. If I'm the kind of person that Christianity to me, all it is filling a pew. Now, if that's the best you can do, maybe there's some situation in your life. You being here, just simply being here, you're telling the rest of us, I'm on your side. I appreciate that. That may be something that all anybody can do. So we don't, but it could be the case that oftentimes there are folks who, they come and they fill a bench, but there's so much they could do in this partnership, but they choose not to. And therefore they cut themselves off from fellowship as it has to do with what God intends for it to do. Fellowship works. What does Paul say in Philippians 1 and verse 5 after thanking the Philippians for... Or what does he say after describing his great love for them and how he always prayed for their benefit and how he believed that God in the very next verse would complete in them what he had begun? Notice verse 5. What was Paul thankful for regarding the Philippians? He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, did he have in mind the benefits they shared? They were all brethren in Christ, and they were all the recipients of all the blessings that come through that. Well, certainly that's involved. But in Philippians, when Paul uses fellowship, if you drop down, I believe, to verse 7 and 8, what does Paul say? He believes God would complete the work that he started in them. Then he says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Then notice what he says. Inasmuch as in my chains, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you were all partakers with me of this grace. What's he saying? He says to the Philippians, I thank God for you. Because you all are partakers with me of this grace. Now, here's question number 7, part B on the exam. What's this grace? It's not just Christ, but He's the reason for it. It's the work that they were doing together. The defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Paul said, you have been in fellowship with me from the first day until now. And in the Philippians case, they had been providing Paul his needs, and in so doing, they were partnering with him. You see, fellowship's all about work. Our working together to the glory of God. We are never experiencing fellowship in any greater degree than when together we're striving to seek first God's kingdom and doing His work in this place. That's all we got this morning. Well, actually, I got a lot more, but we got about 8 minutes, and you know how that thing works. John wrote this. He said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, if I'm in the light, if I'm in Christ, then the blood of Jesus continually cleanses me because I'm in partnership with God through Him. But here's the thing. You can't enjoy that benefit until you come to Jesus. Because if you haven't named the name of Christ, you're not in partnership with God. You're not sharing with Jesus. You're outside of those benefits. And the only way you can enjoy them is to come to Him in penitent faith. Obey the truth like they did in Scripture, Acts chapter 2, repenting of your sins and being baptized into Him for the remission of sins. Then you'll have fellowship, communion, partnership with the greatest enterprise in the world, because it's headed by the greatest one who exists. If we can help you with that, won't you come right now as we're led? 1, 2, 1.